Well, good morning, 606, and there has been a shakeup in the county. According to some, the county is under attack. Isn't that exciting? There was a race last night, yesterday, of course, as you know, if you've been listening to the show. And 606, by the way, on the eighth day, sixth month, 2016, 666, and... So anyway, there have been some beloved and, well, I don't know if anybody who was beloved lost, but Wayne Hancock is out, and he lost by 20 points. And also David Garcia is also out. James Dickens did not take out Mark D'Antonio. It was about 60-40. And so that was interesting. And you've got in running for the next phase, Isabella Solis, of course, and Kim Hakes, Mr. Webb, and Ramon Gonzalez. And out are, as I say, David Garcia and the very controversial Wayne Hancock. So anyway, we have a guest this morning, and I've got Ben Rawson coming in a little bit later. But good morning, Mary Lee Soles.
Good morning. It's good to be here.
Congratulations on getting 100% of the vote yesterday.
It was a tough job, but we worked it all the way to the end. Thank you.
You huffed and puffed and sweated.
Something like that.
All right. So you're through the first round. And, so what are your feelings now? Now you doubled Steve Pierce's numbers in the county.
I don't think that's really surprising given that the Republican ticket didn't have contested races in the primary. So maybe it means something, maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot of road ahead. So what was your reaction to the outcomes yesterday? What things caught your eye?
Wow.
And Mary Lee's running for United States House, the seat currently occupied by Steve Pierce. I'll give her a moment to ruminate on that. She's not had her coffee yet. But all right, so there's a new order down at the county, and the regime of rudeness, according to some people, of Wayne Hancock is over, I guess. Dr. Garcia was out, and he was seen as someone who was was quavering, or he didn't take strong stands. So now we've got a counterbalance. Now I was interested to see Hakes took out Craig Buckingham, who I thought Buckingham was well known in the county, but you know, they say a new broom sweeps clean. So Mary Lee, what was your reaction to yesterday's race?
My biggest reaction to yesterday's race was I was glad to see so many people get out to vote. My understanding is that the voter turnout was really high.
Mm-hmm.
I think that means that people are very engaged. They're paying attention, and this election cycle, we're going to get to November. I hope people continue to stay engaged. There's a lot at stake, our very future.
All right. So Bernie Sanders got 44% in the county. He got a little bit higher than that in the state, I think. Hillary Rodham, 55%. Donald Trump getting 67%, and Ted Cruz coming in second at 14% for a symbolic vote, and Kasich at 9%. Mary Lee Soles, 100%. Congratulations, 13,435. Steve Pierce, 100%, 6,649. And, all right, so let's go down here for some of these contested races. Jeff Steinborn, 65%. Oscar Vasquez Butler, who was just on the show, 34%. So almost double. And then that's for District 36, Democrat, Republican, Lee, welcome back, Cotter. William Soles, any relation?
Oh, my. That's my illustrious brother.
And so he's running unopposed. And now we're getting down into All right. So State Representative District 34, Belquin Bill Gomez, 44%, almost 45%. Paul Maxwell, 22%. Raimundo Alara, 32%. District 35, Democrat. And 34 was Democrat, too, unopposed, I guess. District 35, Angelica Rubio, 45%. Paul Martinez, 24%. I thought he would have done a little better. And Ray Jaramillo, 30%. Now, getting down to Nathan, please don't call me tiny small. Got 100%, of course. I saw him voting yesterday. And we've got more contested races. Mark D'Antonio, James Dickens, 58% for Mark and 41% for James. James did a good job. Got your work cut out for you when you're a Republican in, or a Democrat. Well, I don't know. He's kind of a conservative Democrat. I don't know what is next for James, but he is a quality guy. All right, Anna, District 2, Democrat Ramon Gonzalez takes out David Garcia at the knees, 59%, 40%, 60-40. That's not even close, folks. And now we get down to Wayne, who's the commissioner. He is the chief. District 4, Isabella Solis, 54%. Wayne D. Hancock coming in at 35.95%. Let's call it 36 to make him feel better. And David Bonner, no relation to the former Speaker of the House, Boner, 9.8%. And he was trying to get in yesterday and couldn't do it, but he did symbolically tip the hat to Isabella Solis. Now, County Commission Dona Ana, District 4, Republican Roman D. Jimenez, 32%. William Jared Webb, 67.65%. I tried to get him on the show. He told me it was too late to notice, and then he asked me what we were going to talk about. And I said, aren't you running for office? And he said, yes. And I said, well, what do you imagine we'd talk about? Which led to a lengthy silence. All right, so Dona Ana County Commission, District 5, Democrat Bill Standridge, 23%, 42%. This is Democrat, of course. When you have more than one candidate, it's usually a sign that it's a Democrat race. And Vicky Apodaca, 33%. So John Vasquez, congrats, 43% essentially. Now, getting down to Craig Wayne Buckingham versus Kimberly Clayton Hakes. He's overcome a lot. It's like a boy named Sue. And Kim Hakes, 58% over 41% for that race. Scott the Crayfish Crayling, unopposed. Now, down to the last opposed race, Dona Ana Treasurer Eric Rodriguez, 35%. Ooh, this is a close one. Eugenia Montoya Ortega, she ran for mayor. Now, she got 32.9%, about 33%, just almost taking them out. And Shannon Reynolds, who was on, 31%. So, anyway, well done to the candidates. And sorry to the losers, but there's always next election cycle. Mary Lee, what do you think?
Wow. So, I was particularly interested in the treasurer's race. That was a squeaker.
Yeah, sure was.
Three very different candidates. Very close outcome.
So, the county is under attack. Let's develop this theme. What's going on here? There's these incumbents have been taken out. What's going on?
Well, you know, Kelly, I'm not really in a position to talk about county politics.
You'd rather
I've
talk about that.
I've just been watching
okay.
How much it's been in the news, and clearly folks weren't all on the same page. And as you just observed, there's a message there.
And, well, I wonder if Trump has anything to do with the message, or if it's more local?
For the county, I don't think it's Trump.
You never know.
In this election cycle, you never know.
That's so true. All right, so got a little more. Eric Garner from his famous Seaside Masterpiece Concert by the Sea. So, Mary Lee, are there any takeaways here from this local race? I know you're focused on the national race and your race against Steve Pierce, but was there anything in this cycle that you were taking note of?
Particularly taking note of voter turnout.
And it's high.
It's high. I think that's excellent.
Is it a triumph for democracy?
Not yet, but it certainly is an indication that maybe democracy is reawakening, that we're all going to get back involved in our government at the local level, at the national level, and decide we're going to take control of our futures.
All right. On that note, 616, taking control of the future of right now. Errol Garner, Lullaby of Birdland. We'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 617 on the button, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, 523 1450 and 805-61802. Text. We'll be right back with the lovely and engaging Mary Lee Souls, although it's the slightly sleep deprived. We'll be right back. It is 6:21 now, Mary Lee Souls. Let me ask you this: when your aftermath, your reaction, you saw a lot of people came out, but what does it mean? You know, if there's a disaster, a lot of people come out of their houses. I mean, what does it mean that a lot of people went out to vote? What does it mean to you?
I think it means people are paying attention. That for years and years and years, voter turnout has been going down. Yesterday, the result of this primary, voter turnout was up. It's been up across the country. People are getting reengaged. I think that's excellent.
What is causing it?
Well, maybe all the controversy. Maybe the news attention, maybe the strange dynamics at the national level. Surely the Trump phenomena,
yes.
Even the Bernie Sanders phenomena.
Now, the interesting thing about Trump is he's supposed to be more liberal than the average Republican. And some of the stuff he stands on seems far right. Some of it seems farther to the left. But he's really challenged people in their thinking, I think, to what each voter would stand for, at least in the Republican side.
Well, as you might imagine, I'm not a Trump admirer.
I'm going to stick a Trump sticker on your car when you're not looking.
And that could be a problem. So my observation is Mr. Trump doesn't seem to stand on much of anything. He's pretty random.
Well, random can be good.
Well, random can be entertaining. And maybe entertaining is part of what's going on.
I think Trump is deeper than just entertainment, but I think he does speak off the cuff a lot. But they say that there's this element in the universe that's quantum, and quantum is random. So our whole universe is run off of the random, and yet it produces a beautifully organized result.
Oh, I have no idea where you want to go with that one.
Well, not really anywhere, but I'm sure Trump would like to take it to the White House. But all right. So what does this race mean to you? What is this, the election outcome and the gathering clouds of the next ballot is in November. The race is shaping up and you've got your work cut out for you. So what do you take away from this race, this race where a bunch of new people showed up or people got reengaged?
Well, Kelly, you may be aware, maybe your listeners are not, I am a political outsider.
Yes.
I've not held elected office before.
You're a Trump.
I'm a Trump. Yeah, I'm one of those people that's not part of the mainstream of where our politics has put us at this point in our history. And I'm doing this because I really believe we all deserve better than what's been going on. And I think that's the dynamic that you see being replicated throughout this election cycle. I think that's what you saw happening right here in our local politics in the primary yesterday.
Okay, so, and how do you apply that to your campaign? I mean, what does your campaign stand for? What do you stand for? What are you going to bring? If you take out Steve Pierce, what are you going to bring to Washington? What are you going to bring back here from Washington, or what's going to going to be the net outcome of that?
We have lots of challenges facing us. And so one of the big net outcomes is being part of a Congress that's ready to work rather than a Congress that is stuck in ideological foxholes.
Okay. Sounds like a real ankle breaker.
Ankle break?
Stepping on a foxhole and break your ankle.
Well, okay.
I'm thinking actually foxhole the size of a fox, though. But you're thinking of trenches.
I'm thinking of trenches. Exactly.
All right. So there's this. The two sides are laid out against each other. Are you? You see yourself as a person who's going to work between the two sides? Are you a person who brings in healing or brings in compromise, or is that the model in your mind?
The words I would use: I'm a fixer. I see everything as being ripe for improvement. I'm a bridge builder. I find ways to get from here to there that don't result in walls, maybe. We've talked a lot about walls lately on the political scheme. So compromise has become a dirty word. How unfortunate. Because paths forward come from finding those things that you can agree on and then weaving them together in new, different, better ways. Those are the things I think I have a great deal of experience and capability. I can bring
your business, your business background, your career background as working for Delphi.
General Motors. So General Motors, Delphi got spun off when General Motors let go of their automotive parts divisions.
You think that was a mistake?
I don't think it was a mistake, but you look back on the history of the auto industry here in the country, and it went through some rocky times,
yes.
Didn't it?
So do you see yourself as possibly the oracle of Delphi?
Wow. No, that would be claiming a lot.
It certainly would. All right, so give me some of your political heroes.
Some of my political heroes. Well, relevant right now would probably be Elizabeth Warren.
Uh-huh. What do you like about her?
I like that she sees the problems with our financial system. She's getting at the root of what's allowing them to take place, and she's putting forward really workable steps to improve that and get us back to where money flows down, up, and around rather than just into one place.
All right. So she's fairly far to the left.
She's fairly far to the left, particularly because anybody going up against Wall Street is considered to be left.
Didn't Teddy Roosevelt go against Wall Street?
I wouldn't want to go there. Wasn't part of my generation, Teddy Roosevelt.
All right. Okay, so if you were to, have just a couple of weeks or maybe the night before the next election, what would you want people to know? Some people don't hear you again before we do have the next election. What do you want people to know about Mary Lee Soulz?
Well, that I'm ready to go to work for them. And by going to work for them, I mean really work for them. Here in New Mexico, we have so much opportunity, but we're stuck. Things aren't moving forward. We're not sharing in the prosperity of the country as we've recovered from the recession. And that's just wrong. Just wrong. We need to get unstuck.
Now, do you think getting unstuck economically means government intervention or what?
Well, I think government has a job to do. I'd use the analogy of maybe a basketball game, that most of your listeners, I'm sure, play basketball, enjoy the game, but we all kind of agree on some basic rules. It's not a free-for-all. I think government, in that analogy, creates that framework by which we live and work and prosper together.
Uh-huh.
That's an important job.
I thought you were going to say live and work and gather our being, which sounds like a Bible quote from Ephesians or something. All right. Well,
now you're taking me back to being the Oracle.
Yes, the Oracle of Delphi. Dating back to 1400 BC, the Oracle of Delphi was the most important shrine in all of Greece, and in theory, all Greeks respected its independence. Well, maybe this is a good model for you. Built around a sacred spring, Delphi was considered to be the Omphalos, the center, literally navel of the world. Do you want to make Las Cruces the navel of New Mexico?
We're really going far afield with this. No, I have never seen myself nor Las Cruces as a navel.
Well, maybe we should start growing citrus here, you know? But okay. So we're here with Mary Lee Souls. Got to have souls. And you know what? I should have played some Billy Joel for you. Isn't there a Billy Joel song, You Got to Have Soul? Have you stolen that for your campaign yet?
I haven't. We're going down the path of heart and soul.
Oh, okay. That's that song that I'll play it on the piano. Hold on. The one song every budding pianist knows. Oh, yeah. Here we go. Oh, my gosh. In honor of Mary Lee, we have a little Billy Joel here and the Oracle of Delphi. So anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 6:30, 6:31 on the button, and in honor of my guest. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 to call in, 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. It's all about souls.
She waits for me at night. She waits for me in silence. She gives me all her tenderness and takes away my pain. And so far she hasn't run. Though I swear she's had a moment, she still believes in miracles while others cry in vain. It's all about soul. It's all about faith and a deeper devotion. It's all about soul.
All right, so Mary Lee, we are talking about the fact that we have an underperforming economy and there's a lot more potential in this area. What can government do to make the economy stronger?
Well, I have this vision for New Mexico. We should be leading, breaking out, getting unstuck in a number of ways. When I was working for General Motors, there was a point I was part of the group that was determining the location for the next manufacturing facility. And I still feel like folks don't understand what really makes those decisions.
Yeah, so what does?
The top three things. The first thing had to do with a workforce, a skilled, educated, available workforce.
We're out already.
Well, government can help open those doors so that the workforce here is skilled, educated, and available. We have great education facilities.
We've got available.
Yes.
maybe that's the first step.
The second thing had to do with energy, the cost of electricity.
Yeah, I remember you saying that, and that's how you got involved in the fight with El Paso Electric.
Well,
in a roundabout way.
So it connects. Absolutely, it connects because I see New Mexico as having energy resources unmatched, and yet all of our government dynamics right now have those things under a barrel.
Mm-hmm.
We're not developing.
Well, you know, the good book says don't hide your light under a barrel.
We're going to keep going back to that, aren't we?
Or a bushel.
So now I have the, I'm going to get the light out, and I'm going to be the oracle.
Oracle of Delphi.
Something like that. So energy for New Mexico, and I mean the energy of the future, that is the development of the clean and renewable energies, the how do you do energy storage. We have everything it takes right here to put that to work. The world should be coming to us for how to do what they need to do over the next 50 years.
But according to you, our workforce is only available. It's not trained.
Oh, you said available.
It's not a trained workforce. It's just an available worker.
I see potential. I see tons of potential.
I see the minimum wage skyrocketing.
The third thing that makes that difference is the infrastructure. Can you get good information people in, and can you get it back out?
I know that speaking of infrastructure, a slightly different definition. I've looked at various cities when sometimes I'll, you know, somebody's from a city, a town, I'll look it up. There are a lot of towns our size, maybe a little bit bigger, that have like a downtown, skyscrapers. And I'm like, how do these guys have skyscrapers? They've only got 100,000, 200,000 people. We don't have, we have one broken skyscraper.
So we have so much space, we've never had to concentrate our real estate development so that it goes up rather than out. And I'm really encouraged by what's going on in terms of the redevelopment, the reopening of the downtown.
Yeah, that'll be nice. Wait a minute, it's reopened already?
Well, no, it's coming.
All right, so let's take a break here. And it's all about souls. 639 Kelly O'Connelly, I'm Les Cruces, 1450 KOB. You know, Ben Rossin's supposed to be coming, but I don't know if he's going to come. But 523-1450 and 805-6180 to text. We will be right back. So anyway, 642, and we have Mary Lee Souls here. And all right, so Mary Lee, we're going to get more jobs here, but so we need to have an educated workforce. Does that mean we still can't accept 50% dropout level of high school, or what?
Well, I'm interested in the high school dropout level. I'm interested in the availability of higher education for folks. I'm very concerned about the cost to actually get that degree at the universities and what's happening with that.
So what are you going to do? Are you going to pull in some Bernie Sanders free college for everybody?
Well, that's a great soundbite, isn't it? Particularly if you're the person looking for college. I'd like to get back to where public education really is available to the public. And somehow public education has become hostage to the financial dynamic.
There's a lot of school loans out there. And what they found is when the government began to invest in these loans, that the price of education went up because there's a lot more money for school.
So public education, public universities, their price is whatever the market will bear?
Well, I mean, it's just the general experience of having there's cause and effect in the marketplace. There is supply and demand. And so there is the famous dictum of unintended consequences, you know?
Unintended. Everything has an unintended consequence. Sometimes they're significant. Sometimes they're irrelevant.
Right. So, but I mean, if the government puts an enormous amount of money available for the university system, then it's like throwing fertilizer on the lawn. The lawn's going to grow.
Comes back to what we've decided to commit to about public education.
But there's got to be, you know, I mean, these people carrying around these enormous school loans, there's got to be a way, you would think anyway, I've got to study this a little bit more, but to hit on the issue of the cost of education for the average person.
I continue to think of it as public education being an investment in our people and our future. So
that's a soundbite, though. I mean, how do we make education more accessible? How do we make it cheaper?
So it becomes particularly accessible when it's free. That is the definition of accessible. Am I right?
Like air. Yes.
Okay. So everybody has access to it. That's a different conversation from what does it actually cost to deliver it.
Uh-huh.
And whether or not it should be one of those funding streams that has for-profit sticky finger dynamics going on with it.
Yeah, but I mean, there's for-profit universities out there, and then there's nonprofits, and a lot of these nonprofits like Harvard and Yale have enormous endowments billion dollar, tens of billions, $50 billion endowments, suggesting that the school may not be nonprofit.
Suggesting it may not be nonprofit, exactly. It always comes back to follow the money. What's really happening with the money? But I'd go back to making it accessible. Free is the ultimate accessibility.
So you want free education for the people.
I want accessible education for the people. I want young people to not have to mortgage their futures in order to get that education.
So you're going to make it free, and then the government is going to take another economic hit. What do you think about the deficit at going to $20 trillion? What's your, as a former business person?
So it looks to me as if we're back on that path of we're actually making more each year than we're spending in terms of GDP. And I'm not worried about the deficit. I'm worried about the economy. When the economy is going the way it should and could, the deficit will take care of itself.
You must be a fan of Ronald Reagan because he also said a rising tide raises all boats, Mary Lee Souls.
Well, there you go.
So how do we get the economy working?
You get things unstuck. My personal mantra is when the money moves, the economy improves.
Give me an example.
You wanted to talk about minimum wage. Minimum wage is one of those things that gets the money moving. Folks at the bottom of the economic landscape, those making minimum wage or below,
what about all the
will
businesses?
Spend it.
What about all the businesses that are on the small businesses, the heart and soul of America?
Yes.
A lot of small businesses will either have to cut staff or go out of business. And as this happened in San Francisco, as this happened in Seattle, isn't there a better way?
Well, what I would tell you, my daughter lives in Seattle, by the way. Seattle
and vacations in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's nice too. Seattle's economy is thriving. And I would say a big part of that is because of the higher minimum wage that they put out. I would describe a scenario here, right here in Las Cruces, that you raise the minimum wage, the money gets spent. What businesses actually get is more customers. I had a conversation with
a
friend.
Wait a second. Hold on a second. So, I mean, just by karma or what?
I had a conversation with a friend about, let's say, a dry cleaning business.
Can you hold that conversation because we've got a call. It's an angry business owner.
Sure.
Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. I'm here with Mary Lee Souls. Who's this?
This is David. How are you?
David, good morning to you. I'm very well. Thanks for the call. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
You know what the hiring of the minimum wage has done to me here in Las Cruces?
I'd like to know.
Basically made me gone underground. I don't ever eat out. I don't ever go out to any restaurants because all their prices went up. Then also with the rising of the taxes, and because everything else went up that way, products go up in stores. I used to be scared to death to go online to buy just because of the fear of my identity being stolen. But I am saving so much more money now by not eating out and by trying to do everything I can do online, shopping online, avoiding higher minimum wage and avoiding taxes. And so, you know, I can kind of thank the city of Las Cruces a little bit because they have now forced me underground in a way so that now my money's going further than it used to when I used to go to the brick and mortar and go out to eat all the time.
Congratulations. Have you thought about joining a commune?
No, I'm still readily available out in the society. It's just I don't buy locally anymore. I try to save my money since Las Cruces forced me into ways of taking more money away from me because my paycheck didn't go up the way the prices did. So I found a better way to shop.
All right, David.
I still go out and play golf and go watch basketball games, and I'm still out in the society and everything.
David.
So.
David, let me ask you this. Directly answer Mary Lee Soul's contention that the way to build a better society is in part through raising the minimum wage.
I do not believe in raising the minimum wage. Minimum wage is for a minimum wage worker. You can go into McDonald's and you can get your hamburger all messed up at $7.50 an hour, and now just because you're going to raise it to $15 an hour, you're still going to get your order messed up because those people still aren't trained.
Right.
Minimum wage is for a minimum wage.
Mary Lee, your response.
Well, first of all, I think you're mischaracterizing what I said. I said minimum wage is a way to get the money moving, and getting the money moving is a way to get the economy moving.
Well, I said in part making a better society. I didn't say the full answer.
There you are. Yeah, rephrasing.
Okay, David, another call. Thanks for the call. Great call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show here with Mary Lee Souls.
Hi, guys. It's Karen.
Yeah, well, give it to us.
Yeah, well, Mary Lee, you know, because honestly, it sounds good to raise the minimum wage, but have you studied up on what's happened in Seattle with their raising of the minimum wage?
I have some familiarity with what's happening in Seattle.
Well, you know, because it does sound good to raise it, but if you go and look at what's happened in Seattle versus the suburbs of Seattle, they raised their minimum wage, and what has happened is either the employees have been reduced to part-time or they've been laid off. Businesses have closed. And so that industry where you have the majority of minimum wage workers, restaurants and fast food, they just downsize. While the suburbs surrounding Seattle are doing fine. They haven't had to change because they're not forced to do that minimum wage. And, you know, the best way to up the society to increase everything is to get people job skills, because minimum wage is just for those people starting out. We all started at minimum wage, but our goal wasn't to stay there. Our goal was, this is something to get you by, you learn some skills, but you have to go get educated. And for these people across the country that think that minimum wage, this is the end all, and that these businesses owe them a living wage, that's not the way it was meant to work, and it doesn't work that way.
And
a lot of these places are going to go to robotic.
Wait, hold on. Don't be a robotic caller. Go ahead, Mary Lee.
I know.
So what I wanted to say was that customers create businesses. If you don't have customers, you don't have a thriving business. And if you don't have a business, you don't have jobs. So
yes,
I'm going to start that economic
Karen, let her finish.
I'm going to start that economic cycle with making it possible for customers to buy goods and services. That's where the minimum wage comes in. When people have money to spend and they're at the very bottom of our economic totem pole, they spend all of it. They don't put it in their pocket. And in spending it, they create jobs through helping businesses thrive. I'm not buying that businesses are going out of business because of the wages.
Karen?
All I respectfully ask you to do, okay, because what you say sounds great, okay, is look at the stats. Go and look at what's happened in Seattle. Look at the cities that this has actually taken place in, and look at what's happened. Because, I mean, it all sounds great, but in actuality, it doesn't work. So that's all I wanted to say. I mean, I respect you. I respect you getting out there and giving your plans, but it doesn't work. But anyway, thanks.
Have a great day. All right, folks, we'll take a real quick break here with Mary Lee and got to have souls. 6:54 on the button, AM Luskers at 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 to call in, 805-61802 text. And we got Ben Rawson coming up.
And she asked me what I'm dreaming.
Hey, it's Kelly. Dude, the show yesterday, at least 50 people called. Yeah, it was over.
I offered to help him out, and he later admitted that he thought being associated with
Yeah, we're almost done anyway, so we can transition at the hour. Yeah.
No, you're fine. Because the show's ending right now. It's got 2 minutes. So.
All right. So 657 and Mary Lee Soul's here and just got some flack for the minimum wage. But Mary Lee, what I hear you saying is that that is, I mean, it would be better to give a higher minimum wage than to do, say, another stimulus. The stimulus was kind of misguided, but you want to, and I am opposed to raising the minimum wage on the record, but you want to figure out a way to get some influx of cash into the economy.
I want to get the money moving. I believe we get the money moving, the economy improves, New Mexico gets unstuck, and there's so much opportunity for us. And that's the vision I have for what's really, really possible for all of us.
All right. And I think the better way is what we were talking about. Rising tide means opening more businesses, having more workers out there who have more jobs to transition to up above them. We've got a call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show is this.
This is Chris.
Chris,
I'll
just
make it quick.
Yeah, real quick. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, with the universities trying to make the universities free, make schools free, I do not believe it's going to go. It's going to work out because, you know, that's going to put the tax burden on us because those professors and everybody who works there, they're not going to work for free. That money's going to have to come out of somewhere.
Yes.
The minimum wage, I can understand, like, trying to raise the minimum wage with big corporations, Burger King, McDonald's, and so forth. But when you try and do this blanket raise the minimum wage thing, it only punishes the small mom and pop type businesses, and they do have to cut staff. I mean, they're already having to pay for health care and so forth with these individuals. So
okay, Chris,
I don't buy it.
Chris, I appreciate that. We're literally out of time. Thank you. Good call. All right, folks, got to go. Mary Lee, let's get you back. We'll talk about that El Paso rate case.
That would be great. I think there's going to be a decision today.
Oh, fantastic. Maybe we'll get you back tomorrow.
Not possible.
No, impossible. All right. We'll be back after a break on the hour. AMLS Cruises, KOBE 1450.
I'm still gone a million miles away.
Well, it was exciting yesterday. It sure was. And there was, of course, a big election. And we, I guess you could say, we don't have Lane Hancock to kick around anymore. Or David Garcia. But we do thank Wayne Hancock for whatever good he did for the county, and we thanked Dr. Garcia for whatever good he did for the county, and we do have the gentleman that you associate with being the one person who's willing to stand up and speak truth to power in the studio. It's Ben Rawson.
Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
Good. And there was some truth spoken to power last night, and Wayne Hancock is no longer here to torment us.
You know, Kelly, I'm really glad about that. I found it very interesting that both incumbents on the county commission lost their reelection. I spent some time last night going through previous election results to try and find out when that had ever happened before, and I can't find it. So it's obvious and very clear to me that the voters want a different direction on the county commission.
And what is the direction they want?
You know, Kelly, I think they want to see some openness. I think they want to see some accountability. They want to see some responsiveness from their government. And that's not something that we saw under the direction of Chairman Hancock.
We did play that clip of you chastising him for not following the rules and being rude and basically trying to turn the county commission into his own private kingdom, and which was shocking to hear, of course.
You know, Kelly, we've continued to have those type of battles.
And we have a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, this is Steve. Good morning, and thank you.
Good morning, Steve. You're welcome. Hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
I wanted to ask Commissioner Rawson, is to fill in the blanks, maybe. I think part of the reaction was the way the county commission has persisted in funding rural bus routes with no evidence that cost savings at all.
Absolutely.
The amount of subsidies. But basically, that even though the public voted against it, they went ahead and did it anyway. Can Mr. Rawson maybe fill in some of the costs, the subsidies that are required every year? Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
Yeah, the South Central Regional Transit District has been something that that the voters voted down on a very wide margin, by more than 15 points, and yet the county commission insisted on going ahead and funding and running that bus system. We still have not received any reports on the pilot project that was done before the election of 2014, and we've not gotten any ridership numbers on the program that's running now. I'm trying to remember the exact numbers. I think that the numbers that have been spent on that are just over $1.25 million on that bus system, and we have no accountability from it whatsoever.
And, I mean, this is the thing that I think people find so infuriating about leftism. It always goes back to the same tired schemes and acts like they're just brand new. They've never been tried. They are bound to succeed no matter what, and then they fail, and then the leftists never take any responsibility for it. They blame it on somebody else. I mean, there's got to be more to life than increasing the rapid transit system or the public transportation system when it may not suit the county.
Kelly, I think that's a very good point, and I think your caller is right. The transit system had a lot to do with the election. You know, Kelly, another thing I think was the tea had a big deal to do with it, the gross receipts tax. The county increased that rate to where inside the city limits it's 8.31%. You know, I found it interesting. Your last guest on here, Kelly, was talking about trying to keep the money in the community. And yet that's not what we're doing with the gross receipts tax. We continue to take that money outside of where it would circulate around our community. And that's disappointing to me as we see that continue to rise. There's not a local business here that makes 8.31% profit, and yet we blame the businesses and we've just turned a deaf ear to the government taking that kind of money.
So what are the takeaways for you from this? I mean, what is did you predict these losses?
Kelly, I don't know that I predicted as much as I was very happy to see the Wayne Hancock race. Your listeners will not be surprised to hear me say that. So I'm very happy about that. We've got a good candidate in District 5 as well with Kim Hakes winning. I hope that that he'll work hard campaigning there and will get me some support on the commission. It would be nice not to have everything be 4-1.
Well, hopefully if Isabella wins, she will work with you.
I think so. I had a good opportunity to talk to her last night at her event that she had and congratulate her on the win.
And we have another call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Isabella Salee.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And so what do you attribute your win to?
The people of Boniana for getting out and voting.
Well, you obviously got out to make people aware of your candidacy, and I know you came to my house and knocked on the door, which is how you ended up on the radio here, and you put the work in.
Yes, that is true. I did. We worked really hard.
And I know your family has got a period of mourning that it's going through, but you've got to feel pretty good. You spanked the chief of the county commission pretty decisively.
Well, I got an email. I've been getting a lot of emails and text messages, but I had one gentleman tell me, Isabella, you were truly a giant killer.
That's true. That is true. Ben, I mean, it would be nice to have somebody as open-minded as Isabella on the commission.
It sure would. Isabella, I look forward to the opportunity to work with you.
And I look for that opportunity as well, Ben. Thank you.
And any concluding thoughts for your supporters or people who might think about voting for you in the general election?
Well, I would just like to say that really we've made history. And because of the votes, the people spoke loud and clear. And so I believe that the people are ready to see a new face in the government.
Yes.
And I would just like for them to get out and vote in November.
And support you. Yeah, go, Ben.
And support me, yes.
Isabella, it's customary when someone loses a race for them to call and concede to the other individual. Did you get such a call from Chairman Hancock?
No, I haven't. Not yet.
Did you get a goat head on your pillow?
No, Kelly, I'm afraid I didn't.
Well, contact me if something like that happens. I guess Wayne's not a good loser.
Well, you know, it's tough. I'm sure that if I were on the other end, I'd be having a hard time myself.
He needs a therapist, undoubtedly.
Isabella, that's very gracious of you. Congratulations again on your victory.
Congratulations, Isabella. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you, guys.
Okay.
Y'all have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. So, Isabella right there. I mean, that's a face of maybe a new and a more sympathetic county commission, more tuned into the people.
I think so, Kelly. She spent a lot of time canvassing and talking to people and caring about their opinions, and I think the voters saw that.
Yeah, and so here's a little dedication to a man who's suffering greatly today. And I'm not talking about Richard Simmons because he may be suffering, but he's suffering because he's transitioning from a man to a woman. And I just wonder if he's going to end up with Caitlyn Jenner and maybe help keep him into shape, two trannies. But this is dedicated to Wayne Hancock, the outgoing chairman.
I was all right for a while. I could smile for a while. But I saw you last night. You held my hand so tight as you stopped to say hello. Oh, you wish me well. You couldn't tell that I've been crying over you, crying over you, and you said so long, left me standing all alone and crying. Crying.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly. Kelly, this is Robert.
Hey, Robert, what's going on?
I had a question for Commissioner Rossin.
Okay, can I put you on hold for 1 minute? We'll be right back.
Sure.
Thank you.
You're so important that nobody, you know.
It is 7:20 on the day of June 2016, the 8th of June, and the temperature outside right now is 68 degrees. And we do have, and I've got Ben Rossin here, lucky enough, who is sponsoring the show, by the way. And we're doing the Rossin Report again. And we've got a caller. Thanks for the call, Robert. You're there, and you had a question for Ben Rossin.
Yeah, first of all, I wanted to commend Commissioner Rossin for, the last couple of years that he has stood up and his courage against the golden earring boy, Billy Garrett, and Wayne Hancock's arrogance and their dictatorship that they have tried to reign over on the commission. And also, now that Hancock has been defeated and has lost confidence from his own Democratic Party, does he believe possibly that we need a new direction and to get a new chairman?
Robert, I think that's a great question. We will certainly be getting a new chairman since Chairman Hancock will not be serving at the end of the year here. So we'll certainly be going in a new direction, and we'll see what the new commissioners. We'll have three new commissioners that will come on board and what their desire is.
Robert, do you think that Chairman Hancock should step down from the chairmanship now? Since
he has lost faith. He has showed his weakness. He has showed that he is unfit to serve. And this is and the public spoke yesterday by the huge amounts of that voter turnout and the huge amount of defeat for him and Garcia.
Yes,
it certainly was a large turnout.
I believe he should do the honorable thing and step down from the chairmanship.
Wayne, do you hear that?
You know, Kelly, I just have to say you should have rephrased that as, Wayne, do you understand? Since that's the way he likes to end his emails to me.
Wayne, do you understand? And I have a sugar cookie if you will step down. Thanks for the call, Robert.
Sure.
Have a great day. All right, folks. So Wayne Hancock is defeated, and the question then becomes, should Wayne Hancock step down from being the chair of the committee if his own voters have said, we don't want you to serve for us and represent us anymore? Not only are you not fit to be the chair, but we don't even want you to be on the committee. Should he step down from, and maybe should he step down? I mean, if he had such a plum position and the voters have said, we don't want you anymore, should he step down from the commission?
Well, you know, Kelly, I think the chance of him stepping down from the commission are pretty close to zero, but it would be nice to see a different chairman take over and provide a different direction to the commission. You're right, and Robert's right with when Chairman Hancock's own party in his own district doesn't want him to represent them. That's a very strong statement.
It is. And so, all right. So are you running for the chair you ran last time? Are you going to put your name in?
You know, I ran last time. I'll certainly push that again in January when we have our next elections. Absolutely.
Now, would you say that from Wayne Hancock's leadership of the commission and his subsequent rejection, his repudiation by the voters, and the dismay that people have expressed over his autocratic leadership style, do you think that it was obviously a mistake to put him in the chair? And do you think that we've learned something?
You know, Kelly, I thought it was a mistake to put him in the chair since the very beginning. I'm the only commissioner that voted against him. Unfortunately, the rest of the commissioners decided to follow party line and instead of choosing the best candidate for the job. And I think they see that now.
So when will they ever learn, though?
Boy, that's Kelly, that's a very good question.
All right. So how long do we have you for today?
I'm going to take off here at the next break, Kelly, but thanks for having me on, and I'll see you again next week.
Well, just give us your reaction to the overall race. What's your reaction?
You know, Kelly, I was very pleased with that particular race more than anything else. Isabella Solis worked very hard. She did a lot of door-to-door talking to people and showing people that she cared. And that's something that always resonates with the voters. So I was very pleased with that result. I was very closely watching the Craig Buckingham, Kim Hakes race. That one surprised me. I was not expecting that result, but I'm looking forward to working with Kim come December or January, and I'll work with him through the general to do my best to help get him elected.
Now, it's not easy to make it in this world as for a man named Kimberly.
I have a lot of respect for Kim Hakes.
Well, he's been on the show. He'll be back.
I'm sure he will.
And I would describe him as obviously a very smart guy and well-meaning and also a modest person, a humble guy.
Very humble. I certainly agree with that.
Yeah, so he'll be great. Thanks for coming in and a continuing dedication to Wayne Hancock here. Thanks a lot, Ben.
Thank you, Kelly.
726 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450 805-6180 to text. We will be back.
You held my hand so tight as you thought to say hello. Or you wished me well, you couldn't tell. But I
hey, it's Kelly. Hold on a second.
Over you, why?
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. I just wanted to tell Ben Rossin, thank you for that editorial he put in the paper on Sunday. I think it made a huge difference in that race yesterday.
Thank you very much. I think it did as well.
Yeah, it was very, very informative. And so thank you, Ben. Take care.
All thanks, right. Karen.
Bye-bye.
All right. So anyway, good to have Ben Rossin here. Nice to have Mary Lee Soles come on. And, you know, she might have a hard sale on the increasing the minimum to 15 like they're doing in Seattle. But anyway, we do have news that Richard Simmons is either getting a sex change or has had a sex change. Isn't that interesting? So Richard Simmons, whose life has been on hold for a couple of years, apparently, but I guess it takes a little while to have a sex change. All right. So Hillary is taken she's taken it. She is now nominee from the Democratic Party. Trump shatters a Republican primary vote record by 1.4 million. People are still mad at him because he criticized a Mexican judge who's on his case on Trump University, who's a member of La Raza. And many people in the party are cringing because he is criticizing this individual. At the same time, though, Bill O'Reilly has asked that the judge recuse himself. And so there's a question whether a judge should be involved in a group like that, I guess, is the point of O'Reilly. And so now we have officially Hillary versus Trump, although it's been that way for quite a while. And looking for any other. Well, I mean, this is big news locally that the county commission is going to be have a reset. It's a repudiation to Mr. Hancock of his reign, and I guess by connection to him would be Billy Garrett, that also people don't want that kind of leadership. And, you know, as I said before, and I do want to mention, though, Jeff Steinborn stopped by my office yesterday and I was in court. So, but anyway, that he stopped by to say hello. So we'll get Jeff on the show here. But, you know, the people that are trying to run things from the far left, which includes Billy Garrett, whether these people admit to being on the far left isn't really the indicia, isn't really the fact, the proof. It is the decision making they make, they do, and how they go about it. And for example, doing the budget vote in the fire training station is just an example of people who think that they're above. Think about this though. You're in office. You think that you're above anybody's opinion. You're doing the right thing. And it is, once again, I mentioned this before, but I think there's a really important thing to remember. Messianic leadership is the style of the left. The deeper that you get into the left, the farther you get into this messianic style of leadership. And it's appalling. I mean, it's very scary. And it's appalling because it tends to be totally disconnected from the will of the people. So it's unconstitutional. It's against our style. And it is the declaration that says that unless the government represents the will of the people, that it is off. It is bad leadership. And, so, you know, but you have people and it is a very weird thing that people become enchanted with themselves. And you know, I think you remember when Barack got into office, he was very smitten with himself. He was very, it's like he had fallen in love with himself so deeply. And remember, he was said that we would have the most moral and ethical and transparent government in history. And he just really seemed to be believing all this stuff. And he felt like he was special. He ran for office and he got beaten in Illinois. And then his wife was supposedly upset with him that he was thinking about doing it again. It was, you know, an incursion on the family time and everything. And so he said he'd give it one more shot. And then he won. And then he ended up in the White House and saw himself vested with the secular messianic, I don't know how else to describe it, but as a world changer, as a change agent, as a great spirit, as Hegel, world spirit, and that he was here to augur in a new age. That's how he saw it. Now, historians are going to look back and just see what a train wreck his time was here, unless they're politically correct. And, you know, it's just weird that we would hand over a model of government that's so effective, which is representational government based on a general principle of democratic representation and Republican checks and balances. The checks and balances in the government are what are called Republicanism. And the one person, one vote is the Democratic theory. And we embrace both. When you have people coming in like Obama, like Billy Garrett, like Wayne Hancock, and they come in and they say, we know better than you, we're going to do this stuff. And what you see is invariably over and over and over again, it's just like giant broken record. The decision-making based on false principles, the policies put into place, the failure of the policies, and then a collapse, and then restarting. Look at Venezuela. It is just total mayhem down there. They don't have any freedom. They don't have a working economy. The people are in absolute, they're being held. It's like a giant prison. They don't have medicine. They don't have an ability to go to the hospital, even though it's all free. The doctors don't have supplies. It was based on Venezuela had a robust, very successful, and extremely financially successful oil industry, then the government takes that over and says all of your stuff belongs to us. So all of the country, all of the international companies that were investing and drilling and developing oil, they're stopped. And so when you have that kind of a takeover, there is always a complete lack of servicing that's done in the industry, because the people that take over are not oil people or any other industry. So the infrastructure begins to fall apart. Same thing happened in Iraq. And then the government takes it over. But the canary in the coal mine was the oil price dropped, and now you've just got a country that is ravaged by socialism and ravaged by poverty. It always goes together, and the human rights disasters follow. It's tragic. It always happens the same way. Anyway, take a little break here and come back. I've got a little bit of weird news and a little bit of the continuing Beck Watch. 738 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450 and 805-6180. Let me check your text here.
It's so long, left me standing, all alone and crying.
Kelly here. In a day of incredible changes, we have Richard Simmons, who was just put in the hospital and has just left, and he has had breast implants, and they talk about incredible pictures with real curves, and the question, there's a shocking question that I'll have to tell you in a second. We have a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hello. Good morning. This is Robin.
Robin, good morning.
I just wanted to make a comment.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yes, go ahead, Robin. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, I'm just calling in regarding yesterday's elections, which were glorious. Hancock and Garrett and the Julia Browns are so arrogant, and in their arrogance, there's a common characteristics of dictatorship. Yesterday, the community spoke volumes loud and clear against the progressives. What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously, whether they had it in mind that they were progressive, because a lot of people don't know what the term means, or they don't even really know what the term liberal means, but they don't like to be pushed around. They don't like I think people cringe when they hear that the head of the county commission is telling another commissioner, you can't put anything on the agenda and please follow the rules. Who do you think you are? I mean, it's just terrible sense.
Exactly.
The county commission has gone off the rails, and it's a total disaster.
Exactly. And this is what the sheriff of our county has encountered and had to stand up against.
Yes.
On a daily basis since he was elected by us, the county residents. And he has had to deal with this. And yesterday's victory against these county commissioners to unseat them is the best thing that can happen for everyone in our county.
Did it make your whole day?
Oh my God. Yes, of course it did.
Did you celebrate? How did you celebrate?
How did I celebrate? I'm still celebrating, actually.
Well, put down the champagne bottle.
By speaking with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Put down the champagne bottle for a moment. And, okay. We have to sober up. We got a lot of work ahead of us. These guys have left a disaster. They've spent down the rainy day fund. They've increased taxes, and they've acted like they're doing, this is my problem with leftism. They act like they're doing the work of the Lord. They're so condescending, you know?
Yes, they are. They have been.
Yeah, it's been terrible.
Great to know that Hancock may be leaving soon to Florida. Can we all pitch in and get him a ticket?
Well, yeah, we could get that. And he's headed back to Carpetbagger City.
That's right. That's right. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. It's a glorious day.
Well, thanks for the call, Robin, and keep enjoying the celebration.
I will. Thank you.
Okay, you bet. Bye-bye. All right, folks. Now, here is – all right. Here is – okay, so, all right. Richard Simmons has implants. He's got curves. He leaves the house dressed as a woman named Fiona. There is a speculation that he has been castrated, which is the ultimate goal of these people. All right, so here is Glenn Beckwatch. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I should put this off for tomorrow. I think I'll put it off for tomorrow because I don't want to get the tap into this, you know, get the wrong spirit flowing here. Here is a guy that is put together Vice TV. Alex Jones is talking to him about the goals of the progressives. Check this out. And this is, this guy has got his own radio show too. His name's Gavin McGinnis.
You've got the Gavin McGinnis show that is on Eastern time, many days right up against us at the same time, which I think is just wonderful because I can care less. It's attack on all fronts. Thanks for popping in with us today, Gavin. What is going on here?
Well, here's the big question is, how much of this sabotage has an agenda? Like, what are they trying?
He's talking about the sabotage, the cultural sabotage that's going on across the United States and in through Europe, where governments are doing things repeatedly that are not in the interest of the residents, of the citizens, taking in massive numbers and sneaking in even more illegals into this country and just dropping them off randomly in cities, counties, towns across the United States, and just forcing the people there to suck it up and deal with them. And so many other things too, but check it out.
Trying to do. And of course there's the theory that it's all about destroying civilization, destroying Western cultures so they can rebuild something new. But I'm starting to think that what's really going on here is just sabotage. Like, I think George Soros' father was on his deathbed. And he just said to George, just go make a huge mess. And then he died, and George went, all right, I'm just going to throw money at sabotage. I don't think there's an agenda here. I think it's just malicious. It's just malicious discontent.
I agree with you. They set up a system to rot the sub-mass to make us servile idiots, but it's affecting them in blowback. And now the program has gotten out like zombies out of the underground base, and it's just wreaking havoc where the most radical, stupid ones are now commanders as they have taxpayer-funded systems dumping Drano in their eyes and having taxpayers pay for them and their arms and legs chopped off to live in little boxes. And folks, if you're a new viewer, this is the new trendy stuff to do.
All right. So anyway, the point there being that, all right, so when you're a progressive, you want change, you want movement. Progressivism, liberalism is about movement. Think about it that way. The society has to move. It has to become less sexist. It has to become less homophobic. It has to become more sympathetic to the poor, whatever your scheme is you're working on. And so movement is made in that direction. Now, what if the movement, for example, say raising the minimum wage to $15 blows up? What if it backfires? What if less people end up with jobs? Well, the progressives will blame it on the greedy capitalists, but ultimately there has to be an accounting. And in the case of the locally here, there had to be an accounting for Mr. Hancock being so rude and arrogant, and them acting like they didn't answer anybody, because like it or not, we are in representational government, and it is what Ben said, you know, he went back in the history, never saw that people that were fighting that were running for re-election got dumped like that. It's never happened before. I believe that, and the incumbents hardly ever lose. And the fact that Hancock, who's the chair of the county commission, was thrown out is a huge, huge statement. People don't want tyranny around here, and they're sick of being condescended to and talked down to. All right, 749 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450, and 805-6180 to text. And what that guy on Glenn Beck was getting into is this malicious desire to destroy without even bothering to think what is the other side going to look like. And I think there's just so much of that out there. It's really sad. These liberals are going to destroy. That's their nature. We'll be right back. I've got a little more cosmological mystery for you. I think you'll like it. Weird Wednesday. This is dedicated to Wayne Hancock and his pain.
Of your hand can start me crying. I thought that I...
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, who is it?
How about giving the thumbs up to the Democrats because they're the ones that throw them out? I mean...
Yes. I will. That is absolutely true. Who is this, by the way? I couldn't hear.
Kathy.
Oh, hey, Kathy. Yes,
absolutely.
100%. I'll say that. I forgot to mention that, but that's got to be right in the center of the whole thing, that the Democrats are sick of it, too.
Yeah, they absolutely are. And I was basically one of them. In fact, I haven't left the party yet. I was waiting for the election to be over to become an independent. Unfortunately, in our state, independents can't vote in the primaries, and I don't think that's fair. But you've got to admire the Democrats for saying, no, we're not going to have a condescending jerk like him in charge.
Do you want to say that on the air?
No. But anyhow, I'm enjoying your show, and keep up the good work, even though I miss Walt.
We'll get him back. We'll get Walt back. I got to take time to contact him.
Yes, you do. When I called him, Kelly was going to call me, but he hasn't called me yet. That's when I sent you the text. Call him.
I mean,
he's a great guy. You need to get him back on.
All right. Okay. All right, I will.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
All right, bye. All right, so I've got something here for you, weird news lovers. There is a mystery out there. It's called the horizon problem, and I'm just sum it up here for you. I've got a little clip for you. All right, the horizon problem is this. In the universe, when the universe was created, however that happened, which most people say is the Big Bang, the material was thrown out and somehow collected into planets and galaxies and stuff. They're really still not sure how that happened. But somehow the temperature of the entire universe is uniform to the tiniest degree. And it would be like, what can I compare this to? It would be like, I don't know what to compare it to. It's just that when you have differences of temperature that haven't been mixed up, the horizon problem represents the idea that the universe has not been mixed up. It hasn't met itself. It's still coming together at the rate of the speed of light, and it shouldn't have the same temperature because it's like pouring hot water in a bowl and then cold water in top. There would be a difference between the top and the bottom, and you would have to stir it up to get it to the same temperature, but there hasn't been enough time for it to be stirred up and to reach the same temperature. That's my primitive, pathetic description, but that is right here. Big Bang's horizon problem.
Beyond that is the cosmic background radiation from just 400,000 years after the Big Bang. In NASA's color-coded picture, the radiation's glow is pure green, representing a distribution of matter so uniform, its temperature varies no more than 1/50,000th of a degree. Nothing in human experience is even close to this kind of uniformity. In fact, astronomers believe the universe should really be very different.
By rights,
the universe should be lumpy. If you look in this direction and you look in that direction, you should see two entirely different concentrations of matter, different temperatures, but it's extremely uniform. Therefore, we have a puzzle.
The puzzle has its roots at the universe's birth in the Big Bang. If everything flew apart from the beginning, why shouldn't it be uniform?
No kind of explosion that we know about leads to that kind of uniformity. If you imagine an ordinary explosion, an atomic bomb, a piece of TNT, it's not really uniform at all. There's a piece of shrapnel going off there, a piece of paper going off there, an extra piece of iron going off there. It's really very non-uniform.
So scientists believe the cosmic background radiation just shouldn't be as smooth a green as it is. We can find out why in an ordinary paint store.
Let's consider a universe that consists of different color cans of paint. In our hypothetical paint universe, we have a can of yellow paint and a can of blue paint. And at the instant of the Big Bang in this universe, two cans of paint start expanding apart from each other. In our hypothetical paint universe, one side of it would look yellow, and the other side would look blue.
But as we've learned, the cosmos looks green, whether it's the paint universe or the real thing. The two colors of paint represent the different particles of the infant universe. To end up a uniform green, like the cosmic background radiation, they had to be touching. But when scientists first calculated the speed of the Big Bang, they concluded that it blew everything apart faster than the speed of light, meaning blue and yellow were too far apart, even at the instant of creation, for any mixing to take place.
Seeing a universe that's so uniformly green would be very strange. It would be like taking our can of yellow paint, pouring it out, and having it be green. Then taking the can of blue paint, pouring it out, and having it be green as well. It's impossible.
This horizon problem can be solved by a theory that I've worked on called inflation, which is a twist on the Big Bang.
Inflation is now the widely accepted variation that makes the Big Bang work without the limit imposed by the speed of light.
All right, so there's a lot of theories out there, but there is no known answer to the horizon problem, the horizon problem being that the universe is the same temperature, the same exact temperature down to the tiniest detail, and obviously there's an explanation for how that is true, but they don't really know what it is yet, and that given the laws, their knowledge of the universe, how it was formed, and the laws of nature, the laws of the universe, it's totally inconceivable. It's like it was, well, anyway, you heard the explanation. Because it was an explosion of the Big Bang, it shouldn't be the same temperature across the universe, but it is down to the tiniest calculation of the temperature. So it's an interesting mystery for you. Well, thanks for tuning in today, and we got some massive election results. Dr. Garcia is out, and Wayne Hancock is out, and he is the sitting chair. It's very odd. And so anyway, thanks, and we'll be looking forward to having the next round of candidates on to talk about why you should vote for them, Republican versus Democrat. And we'll get Steve Pearson here, of course, as well. But nice day out. It is about 70 degrees right now, 68 degrees. And we just had some spectacular clouds passing over my house last night. But with some lightning and thunder and such. And there may be more out there. I'm sure there is. There's a little tropical storm that's coming up through the Gulf of Mexico as well. So anyway, have a good day. AM Las Cruces 1450, Kelly O'Connell. And we'll meet you back in 22 hours. I forgot to read the text, but I'll get to him tomorrow in the early morning. I'll read him. Talk to you later. Bye.
You couldn't tell that I've been crying over you, crying over you, and you said so long.
standing all alone, alone and crying, crying.